My hope for you today is that love is something that becomes real for you.
Maybe you're someone who doesn't feel loved. I just want to want you to take a moment maybe before you listen to this podcast just to think about all the ways that you are loved. To think about all the, and try to notice the different ways that people love you, and then maybe think of some ways that you show love. Love is very, very important. So I love having these conversations, from my podcast, but about things such as like hope and worship. And today, if you haven't already guessed, the topic is love. And I use the word love a lot. Whenever I watch a movie or read a book, I'm like, I love that. That was so good. Or maybe I'm the kind of person that leaves a bad review about how good a product is. But I was like, oh, that was so good. Or this was such a great watch. Or this was such a great read. And maybe I use the word good a lot. But I also use the word love a lot as well. I love a lot of things. I love how I've progressed throughout, season 3 of the Sunshining Podcast. I love to put a lot of love and attention into every episode of the Sunshining Podcast. But some days I just have more time than others. That's the thing about love. It requires time. And maybe for me, something I probably do is I spend too much time with things or doing things that I love, but not with people I love. Sometimes circumstances are out of our control. Last week I had some tech issues. And so even though I was putting some love and attention into, last week's episodes, they were great. Every episode of my podcast has been great because of amazing guests. But, sometimes we can't. And, what I love about love is that it's not about control, it's not about control. And you don't love something because you have control over it. But, there's a lot of times when you have to love people regardless, regardless of the things they do, regardless of the things they act. So I don't know if you know anybody that's hard to love, but, I just want to encourage you to love regardless. And it's either, either it's real love or it's not love at all. That's kind of a huge statement to unpack there. But it's like, it's like something is real or it's not real, It's like, this is the real thing, this is not the real thing. And so, maybe you have a misconceptions about love. Maybe you've lied to yourself about what love is. So just want you to, this episode is all about love. And so I feel like, maybe I've said enough to introduce the topic. My guest today is Kim Sorrell. She is a best-selling writer, speaker, and world changer. You have been a guest on some amazing podcasts recently, and I listened to a bit of the one, and I loved, how the podcast host gave an amazing introduction to you. And I don't really do that on my podcast, and maybe that's something I should start doing. But for anyone, who's listening to this podcast and maybe never heard of you, I'd just like to ask if you just give it like a brief introduction into yourself.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. My name is Kim Sorrell, and I'm an entrepreneur. Started my first business right out of high school, and I've been in business for years and years. I run a nonprofit organization, Rays of Hope International. I've done a lot of international work in a lot of the poorest areas in the world. Do a lot of work in Haiti and Dominican Republic, Burkina Faso, and other countries. I am the mother of 5 and grandmother of 11, and love my family, love spending time with my family. And I'm an author. I've written several articles. I've written a couple books. I wrote a book called Cry Until You Laugh a few years ago. And then my latest book on love, where I decided to take this journey to figure out what love really is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I was looking at your books, and that Cry Until You Laugh book looks really interesting. And
And definitely a book that I recommend anyone who's listening to this podcast to get a copy of. But I think we're going to make your latest book, Love Is, the kind of the topic of this episode. You know, you wrote a book titled Love Is. And so when you hear the word love, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Well, today, the first thing that comes to mind, way different than before I ventured into this, you know, before I would think, you know, romance or something like that. When I think about love, compassion, perhaps. But now the biggest thing that comes to mind now is freedom. Because with real love, there is nothing more freeing. There is not a freedom that is equal to loving real love the right way.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You know, because yeah, the word love can be used so freely, like I love this, I love that, you know, and you know, and I think all my, you know, my listeners would agree that love is more than a feeling. And maybe you could just give a brief description of what love is.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, what I did is I took a 2,000-year-old verse that you hear at a lot of weddings, right? You hear it all the time. You see it on plaques. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. Does not boast. And I took it one word at a time to figure out, well, what is love that is patient? What is love that is kind? And so on. And planning on taking one word a month and doing it over the course of a year. But there are 14 words. So it took me a little bit longer than a year. And what I found out is love is complex and huge and giant and big. And yet the simplest, easiest, most natural thing in the world at the same time. It is massive and tiny. It is everything opposite. God is love. Mm-hmm. That right there is gigantic, right? To think of that God is love. And, you know, it doesn't say God loves or God is loving, but God is love. So love is not an emotion like fear or excitement or something like that. Love is living and walking and talking and breathing. Love is consuming. Love is who you are, or certainly who you want to be. And the closer we get to living love and being love to others, the closer we get to living the way God really wants us to live.
Mm-hmm. What are some misconceptions about love that you discovered?
There are a lot of misconceptions about love that I discovered. I think there are a lot of things that are done in the name of love or are called love that really have nothing to do with love at all. I think that so many times we think that we're showing love or giving love, like, for instance, you know, love is kind. Mm-hmm. So we think that by doing kind things or showing kindness, that we are showing love, which is true, except it can be so distorted. Because how many times have you done something kind, or you know someone who's done something kind, or I've done something kind for somebody, and then say, well, gosh, they didn't even say thank you. Or, wow, well, I did this for them. Why didn't they do something for me? But the minute you attach conditions to your love, the minute you say, I'll do this with an expectation of this in return, then it's no longer love. That's not love. Love is unconditional. Love doesn't discriminate. Love does not judge. Love does not condemn. Love loves. It is that simple. So kindness with expectations, love with expectations, it just does not exist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why do you feel love is, you know, is so important? And of all the things that you could have devoted a year to, why did you choose love?
Well, a few years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And 4 months later, my husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and he passed away 6 weeks after that. And it made me question the reality of love, what real love is. I had a great marriage, and it was devastating to lose my husband. I didn't pick it. I wouldn't choose it, but I knew that I got to choose what my life would look like going forward, because I couldn't have him back. So that wasn't a choice. So I chose to figure life out in a different way, and starting with love, you know, like what is love really? And I've known people who have lived a year like Jesus, or tried to do something like that, and even write books about it. And it tends to be more about the physical, about wearing sandals and having a drink at a bar with strangers, when really it's, I was looking for the spiritual, you know, I was looking for that life-changing, in-depth, deep dive, right? And so with that, you know, Jesus is different to different people. Mm-hmm. To you and I, he's probably the same, like love, light, joy, peace, everything great and wonderful in God, right? But to some, he's the guy tipping over tables. And to some, he's a heretic. To some, he's a prophet. So even the, you know, WWJD movement, right? The what would Jesus do? Different people can answer that question different ways. Mm-hmm. But love is universal. And what would love do could be the question that people should answer. Is how would you react in love? How would you act in love? So I thought, well, that's great. But unless I know what love really is, how do I know that answer? And so that's why I chose love. I wanted the answers. I wanted the answers for myself. And when I devoted a year, when I decided I'm going to do this thing, and I'm going to devote a year to really figuring this out, I decided I was going to do it for myself, whether or not it ever became a book, whether or not a publisher ever had interest in it, whether or not one person ever decided to buy it. I really wanted to take this journey for myself. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, there was a publisher interested, and fortunately, people are buying the book because I believe so strongly in the message. If we could all love the way we're supposed to love, the world would be an entirely different place. Relationships would be different. Mm-hmm. You know, the borders that we have, for instance, God didn't draw borders on a map, right? We drew the borders. Mm-hmm. You know, God doesn't put us in. I heard a podcast that you did recently, actually, that was so good. And one of the things that you said that I thought was brilliant was we put labels on people, right? You talked about labels. Mm-hmm. And that's so true. Like we do, you know, whatever, you're American and you're from this political party. So you're this, or you're a vax, or you're an anti-vax, or you're a whatever label it is. When really it's you and me, you know, people have names. We have names, and we're all individual. We're all equal. We're all made in God's image, and the labels shouldn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, the labels might identify something in your life, but that's not who you are. You know, being a Republican or being a Democrat, that's not who you are. That might be your political leaning, but that's not who you are. You're a child of God. Mm-hmm. You know, that's your identity, right? And you have a name. We are all individuals. And so I loved what you said about that, about the labels. I just agree with that so much. It's so true that we're not the labels that people put on us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You covered so much in that, and you know, I was trying to listen closely and try to come up with more questions from that. But when you mentioned that you listened to my podcast, that just blew me away. I'm trying to remember which episode I said that on, you know, the about labels. Do you remember which episode that was?
Yeah, it wasn't. I listened to several that I really enjoyed. I think maybe it was the episode where you were talking to a man who writes devotional books, perhaps. Maybe.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I remember that episode.
Yeah, I think that wasn't that long ago, maybe. But I think that's where it was mentioned. And it wasn't even part of the overall topic.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just something you just kind of threw in. And yeah. I thought, hi, that's brilliant. I mean, it's just, it's a whole lot of wisdom for anyone to have. That's so true.
I'm trying to think how to continue here. I have a few more questions. Uh, how has love changed your life?
Understanding real love has changed my life dramatically. Look, I don't see things through the same lenses anymore. We all do what we do, right? I mean, I believe that who we are today, you and I sitting here, every day that we've lived has led us up to today, right? And things that I used to think were just fine and okay now kind of make me cringe or make me uncomfortable. You know, like when I hear somebody point somebody out in a store walking down the street and go, oh gosh, they, look at what they're wearing, or, you know, why would they act that way or whatever? Well, the reality is we don't know. You know, people can wear whatever they want and they can behave however they want. And so we don't know the backstory. You know, it's in knowing the backstory, which I think is part of love, is wanting to know the backstory, right? But it's in knowing the backstory that you get those answers, not just by seeing somebody for a moment on the street, you know, or when you're in the grocery store or on the road or on the sidewalk on your skateboard. I mean, whatever it is, and somebody runs into you or gets in your way, and it can be so easy to just right away judge that and go, oh my gosh, that person's a jerk. Well, maybe they're not a jerk. Maybe something bad just happened. Maybe somebody just died in their life, or they just lost their job, or, you know, there's something that has gotten them riled up, or they've lived a life of with hard luck after hard luck. You know, you don't know where people are coming from. So I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. I like to look at people as individuals and realize that everybody has their own individual story. And until you know the story, you don't know. And once you do know the story, it changes how you view people, right? So like people that you have that are your friends and you know things about them, you look at them differently than strangers, but it's because you don't know the story. And I think love, when you love, really love, you want to know the story. You want to know and not make any judgments or anything without knowing some of the story. You know, not that you should judge at all, but especially when you don't really know somebody, when you don't know what's happened in their life.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to kind of go back to what I was saying earlier about how it's easy, you know, that we use the word love so freely and it. So it's easy to say we love, and then it's also easy to hate as well, to use the word hate and to judge people. And so, you know, for anyone who's listening to this podcast, I just want to encourage them to kind of be intentional about loving, you know, and showing love. Because it's, you know, if you're not intentional about it, it's easy to hate, right? And so be intentional about loving people. And, you know, you know, so love is a broad thing. Is there different kinds of love?
Well, you know, I think certainly within relationships, there's different kinds of love. But I think the overall thing about love, you know, is that if we love with the same love that God is, then that's just an unconditional love. That's just that's just love the way it's supposed to be done, you know, a non-judgmental, we're all equal. God loves us each as individuals and all together. And that kind of love is the love to strive for, you know, to really know about. And what I figured out, you know, when I was taking those words, those 14 phrases, words, you know, love is patient, love is kind, et cetera. What I figured out is that every single one of them, you know, we think we know what those words all mean, right? Love does not easily anger. Well, of course, we shouldn't get angry easy, you know, or love is not proud. Well, of course, you know, I mean, some of it seems so elementary, right? So easy. But as soon as you put love is or love is not in front of any of those words, it completely changes the meaning. Like love is patient, the very first one. You know, I thought I knew patience. I think I know what patience is. You know what patience is, right? I mean, we all do. You know, you're not in a traffic jam honking your horn, or you're not mad because someone's not ready to go and you are, somebody's in your way, you know, you wait, you know, that's patience. But what I figured out about love that is patient is that it recognizes, first of all, I believe you're supposed to love everybody. So whether it's the person at the grocery store or your friend, a family member, whoever it happens to be, you love them. And because you love them, love that is patience would say to you that this moment right here, right now is the most important moment of your life. What's in the past is in the past, and what's in the future is yet to come. And so this moment is the moment. And it's so easy for me, it was, maybe not for you, maybe not for some of your listeners, but for me, it was so easy to be distracted, you know, to be in conversation, but then be thinking, oh gosh, I've got this meeting later today, or oh, I've got to stop at the store on the way home, or, you know, be distracted by something walking by, you know, whatever, but be distracted and not be fully engaged. And I believe that love that is patient is being fully here, fully present with you right now, because this is the moment. And this moment's going to come and go. Whether we're fully here or partially here or what, this moment's going to come and go. So to be fully engaged and fully here in it is to say, I love you. You know, I'm showing you love. I'm giving you my full attention. You are the most important thing in the world to me right now. Everything else can wait. I value your time. I value who you are. And I love you. And so my focus is with you and here.
Mm-hmm. You know, so I've been asking you a lot of questions about love, and you know, maybe we're kind of covering the same thing with every question, but I just want to ask, well, what is the thing you learned about love that you think everyone should know?
I would say the biggest thing that I learned about love is that love does not judge. Love allows people to be who they are. Mm-hmm. We can't change anybody. I mean, you know, you've lived long enough, I've lived long enough, we know we don't change people, right? People are who they decide to be. And to allow people to be who they are, live who they are, and be who they are without judgment, without any condemnation, without anything else, but truly just allowing people to just be who they are. That's love. That's love. We don't want everyone to be like us, right? I mean, I know the rest of the world would not want everyone to be like me anyway, but so we want people to be individuals and feel free to be who they are, who they believe God created them to be. And we have to respect that. And so love listens, you know, instead of passing judgment and going, oh, I don't approve of that in them, or I disagree with them about that. Love listens. It listens to the actual words being said. Because I think when it comes down to it, we all have a whole lot more in common than not in common. Everybody, with everybody. But quite often, when we talk to people, we're not really listening. We have in our mind what we believe they mean, or what we believe they're going to say. Right. And so we want to try to kind of read between the lines, or we have our response waiting without really listening. But if we really listen, then we have conversations instead of confrontations, right? We can listen and allow the person you're with, allow them to believe what they want to believe. They can believe whatever they want to believe. They can be who they are. And that's all good. I don't know of arguments that change people's minds on anything. You know, it's not like you get a Republican and a Democrat in a room together and they start talking and of course start arguing. And one of them goes, you know what, Republican, you're right. I have been wrong this whole time. You know what, Democrat, you're right. You know, that doesn't happen. It's just an argument that it doesn't do anything. If instead you took the same Republican and same Democrat and put them in a room and said, okay, when the other person speaks, listen to their words, listen to what they're actually saying, not what you think they're saying, or not reading between the lines, you know, but just listen. and have conversation, you might learn something. You know, people are allowed to change their minds. You're allowed to change your opinions. You're allowed to grow and evolve, right? And if you're going to allow yourself to do it, which you should, we should be able to grow. We need to grow. And so our opinions do evolve, and our thoughts do evolve, and our lives become richer and deeper. And so if we want to allow that for ourselves, we have to allow that for other people too.
You said so many good things so far, and there's, you know, there's other rabbit trails or whatever we could go down, but I don't think I really want to go down any, you know, other rabbit trail. And definitely, you know, there's a lot of hate in the world. And so that's something I just want to encourage everyone who's listening, is just to be more loving. And, one thing I like to do with my podcast is help people get into the Bible. And, you know, I like to share a verse or two every week. And so your book is based on 1 Corinthians 13. And so that's kind of the Bible passage for this week. What are some tips you would have for someone who's just studying the Bible and reading that passage? You know, like, let's say I was going to read 1 Corinthians 13 today, you know, because it's so easy to use the word love and to read about love. Just what are some, yeah, just some tips for like studying that passage and, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, I'd say I love the history of the Bible. I love the history of the books and when they were written and why things were written and the original text and everything else. And so Paul was writing to the Corinthians because he wasn't happy with the way they were acting toward each other. And he was saying, wait a minute, you're missing the boat, because what you're doing is not love. Love is patient. The way you're acting toward each other is not love. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It doesn't keep record of wrongs. It doesn't easily anger. He was telling them what love is so that they would know better how to live. So with that in mind, when you read that passage and go, oh gosh, you know, really, it's not just fluffy, you know, rainbows and unicorns love. It is, hey, what you've been doing is wrong. Let me tell you what God's love is really like. So when you read that passage and know that, then you go, oh gosh, well, he had to say love is patient. So how were they behaving that they weren't demonstrating love is patient? Or love doesn't keep record of wrongs. So what was going on with them that he had to say love doesn't keep record of wrongs, that he had to point that out? You know, to me, it's interesting to know what it is, you know, like love that doesn't keep record for wrongs, record of wrongs. It, when I was doing that one, I wasn't sure exactly what that would mean. A lot of them seemed obvious, like I said, and in my book, I start each chapter with what I think it's going to be, you know, what I think patience is, love is patience. And then I tell the story of what brings me to what it really is. And I was in Haiti most of the time. And so it's some crazy stories, like getting chased by a motorcycle gang and getting lost on a mile high mountain and sleeping outside with tarantulas and snakes and all kinds of crazy things happened that where God just opened my eyes to the truth about these different things. And love doesn't keep record of wrongs, to me, was going to be a difficult one, because we don't forget the things that happened to us, right? I mean, it's not like, you know, forgive and forget, you hear that term, right? Forgive and forget. Well, but we don't, because it's our life. You know, there, something happened, whatever it is that happened. And so it's not about forgetting, but it's about changing the narrative, changing the tone, changing how you feel about what happened to you. So realizing that a lot of things happen to us that don't define us. There are things that are, that have happened to us that are not us, first of all. But secondly, it can be so easy to live in bitterness, right? To just, that person in that moment did that thing to me, therefore I am angry, bitter. And, you know, you brought up the word hate, which is hard to use against any person, right? So harsh, but I hate that person because of what they did, you know, whatever. Well, that only hurts you. That bitterness, that only affects you. It can affect you physically, for goodness sake. I mean, it can be bad bitterness, right? That harbor, that ill will, to want revenge, to any of that is just a dangerous way to live. It's not helping you at all. And quite often, the person that you have that bitterness toward doesn't even know. They're just going about their life. You know, they don't know that you're losing sleep over it, you know, that you're upset about it. But so you don't forget, but you change the mood, you change the narrative. So it's no longer this person did this horrible thing to me, but this is something that happened to me in my life. Mm-hmm. And from it, I learned. And because of it, this is where I am, you know, and now I know not to whatever, you know, or, but, you know, find something good out of it and let the bad feeling part of it go. Let that go. Don't hang on to that part.
Mm-hmm. That's about it for today. And I'm going to include links to your books and your website in the description of this episode. Is there anything else you just want to say before we end the recording?
Well, I want to say that I read your bio and you have 8 brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love a big family. I love my husband came from a family of 8 kids. I have 5 kids. And I think when you live in a family that size, you learn a lot about love. And mm-hmm. so there are probably things that you could teach me about love. Living in a family like you have, and you obviously have a love for your family, which mm-hmm. is something we should all do. You know, you see families sometimes that are at odds with each other, and there's no need. There's never a need for that. You know, just put down the weapons and give a hug, you know, embrace and love your family.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've probably listened to enough of that song, and that is the song of the week. And you know, I love how this episode has been, and you know, so as I was watching it and editing it, and I just, you know, that song kind of came to my mind, you know, because, you know, we clearly are talking about being a part of a large family, and yes, I'm a part of a large family. I'm the oldest of 9 children, so I have, you know, 4 brothers and 4 sisters at the moment. But my mother's expecting a new one, so I'll be the oldest of 10 children pretty soon. I should have, you know, sometimes with birth news, you know, you have to, I know, like, it's like they want to wait to share it until a certain time, but it's, I think it's been shared. With the world. Okay. So, you know, and so I love my family and they're listening to this podcast. They're my biggest fans. Well, there's many other things I could say as we, you know, to close out this episode there. So the name of the song I was just listening to is All God's Children by Torn Wells. But yeah, family life is interesting. And then just life is interesting because you're going to come across a lot of people in life. And some people might be more difficult to love than others. And, you know, but just, yeah, you know, love is. I want to encourage you to think about love. But, you know, be love this week. You know, and that's it for this episode. I want to thank you so much for listening and thinking. See you next week. Be sure to subscribe and follow the Sunshining Podcast wherever you stream podcast. And if you want, you can read the podcast notes on the podcast website. Links to that, as well as, you know, the Sunshining Community, my guest website, and more can be found in the description of this episode. Mm-hmm.